Start the clocks. Mumbrella 360 begins in 4 weeks. Get ready to attend the biggest media and marketing event of the year. Get access to 5 content stages and 14 masterclass sessions, along with multiple networking opportunities with professionals from advertising, media, communications, and health agencies and organizations. There's no time to waste. Grab your tickets at mumbrella.com.au/mumbrella360. Hello and welcome back to the Mumbrella Cast Cannes Edition. I'm Callum Jaspin, and today we bring you an on-the-ground snapshot of this year's Cannes Lions Festival of Creativity, as the industry's biggest global event returns for the first time in 3 years. Bit of a different format for this episode. We're going to offer up an array of the talent and content over here this week, with the year's best work intersecting with global players in marketing and tech, all vying for the eyeballs of their colleagues, with others using the week to make big announcements. Today you'll hear from Dentsu, Snap, Reddit, TikTok, Vladimir Zelensky, Gary V, and Yahoo in the next 40 minutes, catching you up on what is top of people's agendas. I'll have to warn you now, the audio may be a bit sketchy this week as it's all been on the go, but hopefully the content takes front and center and you still enjoy what we have to offer. Kicking things off then, the week started with Dentsu Global CEO and new global CCO Fred Levron unveiling Dentsu Creative on stage at the event here, ditching all the legacy creative and PR brands to form one singular integrated network. Locally, this sees Dentsu McGarry Bowen, Haystack, and BWM Isobar all sunsetted, but to tell you a little bit more about the reason behind it, here is Fred himself and ANZ Dentsu Creative CEO Kirsty Muddle. So we're here on the Dentsu Beach Club with Global Chief Creative Officer Fred Levron.
Hello.
And Australian Dentsu Creative CEO Kirsty Muddle.
Hello.
Recently announced rebrand consolidation, Dentsu Creative. Fred, what better setting than to announce such a big move than the International Festival of Creativity and the first one for 3 years?
Right. I mean, Cannes Lions has always been a big part of my life and my career, and something so important for us as a creative community. We're launching Dentsu Creative, our unique global creative network for Dentsu, connected to media and CX. I am all about the most modern creative outcome in this industry for our clients. So for me, it was a no-brainer. Yeah. Launching during Cannes Lions 2022, after 2 years not being here, it's a blessing.
You spoke about in your presentation with your global CEO, Wendy Clark, the other day about how Dentsu is sort of positioned and doesn't have the weight of some of the other holding companies, and you're kind of in the unique position where you can do this. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Well, think about it. We all been working in one of the five holding companies out there, right? I've been working at Ogilvy for 11 years. And I loved it, and I still have so many great friends over there. I've been working at FCB, at IPG. All those companies, they've been shaped and designed 50 years ago, 70 years ago, a century ago, when building brands and connecting with people was a very different game. And since then, how much did it change? And those companies built amazing businesses that are very siloed. And when Wendy and myself, we say we don't have that legacy, it's true. And we see it as an opportunity, because now we can build something that is relevant, not for 70 years back, but for today and for the years and the hopefully the decades to come. So that's the opportunity we're grabbing.
And Kirsty, we were speaking just before about the fact that I think Fred said you were his first hire. You were hired very shortly after Fred started at Dentsu in November. Was there sort of a pitch there, and I guess this new opportunity, what was that about that kind of sold you, and what are you kind of looking forward to moving forward with this new consolidated brand?
Well, at that point in time, I wasn't fully aware where we were going, but I certainly aligned with Fred and his passion and the idea that the one thing for Dentsu was have really strong media capability, and our history is anchored in that. We have huge successes in CXM, and now is the time for creative. And creativity being not necessarily a vertical, but our product, uniting all of the service lines.
And Fred, it's obviously a fantastic kind of prospect and idea to put forward. How do you go forward and actually putting that into market and bringing things together to, I guess, take Dentsu Creative to market?
Well, we ask ourselves a question that I always dream to answer. If you had to create a brand new global creative network, you or mm-hmm. one of us in the industry, if you had that chance to do that in 2022, how would you organize the company? What would you want to be known for? What kind of creative product would you want to create? What kind of offers? What kind of services? What kind of culture would you want to create? And so I've been answering with so many people at Dentsu this question for the last 7 months. I've been at Dentsu. And so what you see today with Dentsu Creative, from the new identity to the way we talk about modern creativity, the way we talk about horizontal creativity, which is something that we want to own at Dentsu, connecting creativity with everything in the company. All of that is the answer to the way we go to market for our clients.
And Kirsty, how do you think it's sort of been received this week? You've obviously got, there's this beach club with Dentsu Creative. It must have been part of the plan. How has it sort of been, I guess, in the lead up to this, and how's it kind of been executed in your opinion?
I think to your earlier question, this is much more than a logo change. With the effort that's gone in from Fred and the global team in making sure that we have the right artifacts to deliver this into market, we're living and breathing it. Day one of Dentsu Creative, our entire office has changed in Australia. So New Zealand, Auckland, Sydney, Melbourne are all now Dentsu Creative. We're using Dentsu Creative briefs. We've united around one single culture, and it's happened. But we were prepared.
Well, brilliant. I appreciate you both taking the time, and best of luck. Looking forward to seeing what it looks like in a year's time.
See you soon!
Next up, one of the first major themes that stood out this week has been a focus on the ongoing war in Ukraine. During a session entitled Creativity Under Bombs, President Volodymyr Zelensky delivered a guest address to a packed auditorium. Here's a quick grab from his powerful message to this year's attendees.
I'm sure that you will do a lot more to promote Ukrainian bravery. Your campaigns and your work will make our fight for freedom legendary. Because we are fighting not only for our own freedom, but for the freedom of the entire democratic world. For all of those who cannot even imagine the extent of tyranny and censorship that exists in Russia. Now you can bring peace to Europe simply by applying your professional qualities. I believe that the power of human creativity is greater than the power of nuclear state that is stuck in the past. Speak of Ukraine. Don't let the world switch to something else. The world must remember that Ukraine is fighting for freedom. This fight must end in our victory as soon as possible. Your every success will mean saving thousands of lives. Thank you. Glory to Ukraine.
Moving on across the promenade, the beachfront is littered with the world's biggest tech and social media platforms. Here is Australia GM for TikTok, Brett Armstrong, to tell you a little bit more about what the Rocket Ship app is up to this year at the festival. So we're here in the TikTok penthouse with GM of Australian TikTok, Brett Armstrong. How are you doing?
Doing really well, Callan. Great to meet you, and thanks for doing the interview today.
It's funny. One of the stories that I was told last night was that 3 years ago, some of the TikTok guys were here in Cannes, and they were walking down the promenade, and they couldn't get into any of the events and the big kind of tents and stuff. And now TikTok's one of the kind of headline brands. How's that process been? And is this year the sort of big coming out for TikTok?
Yeah. Look, the world wants to engage with the platform. I can't believe how often I hear, even this week, we had Ryan Reynolds just across the road talking about a number of things, but one thing he talked around was how engaging TikTok is. He loves it. He can't get enough. And so the thing that I love the most, it's not us talking about how effective and amazing this platform is. It's all these communities that are on it. So for me, I was pretty excited to bring the team over. The theme this year is, this is your moment. And so speaking to the industry and looking at that theme of this is your moment, the other thing that came through is this opportunity for creative to it needs to speed up. There's so much impact and opportunity in this industry to do big things, and creativity is going to be key to that. So this is your moment was the theme. And when I think about Australia, one thing that we've always seen, you would have seen this, Callum, every year when Aussies show up to this festival, they do well. There's so many amazing, talented Australians that win awards. So one in particular I love is the Young Lions Australia winners that we worked with. So we sponsored that award. And just to step back, one thing that's really important to us at TikTok Australia New Zealand is our engagement with Indigenous communities. So we've worked hard to get a reconciliation action plan in place. And so this was a good opportunity for do something really intentional around that. And these two amazing humans, so we had Jackson Elliott and Will Campion from MNC Saatchi, came up with an idea to create the most expensive house in Redfern. And that house was the Redfern Community Center. And the idea was to get people to buy a part of that facility. And ultimately, all that money that would come in would make it really valuable, and that funding would go back into the community. And so community is key here. And this is what the thing that I think TikTok brings is the ability for communities to connect and drive, you know, not just business impact, but social impact as well. And those guys, they've come on now to win a global award. So Australia just continues to win. And we're just grateful to be a part of this amazing festival to celebrate the amazing accomplishments the industry are doing. And really, you know, the other thing is being here, just listening to our partners. There is so much we can do beyond this week, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, you mentioned Ryan Reynolds then. He kind of, in his talk this morning across the road at the Palais, spoke about how he'll look down and however many years will go by until you look back up and you've kind of just been immersed in TikTok. Where do you sort of see creativity going on the app? And I guess, you know, it's come such a long way in the very short history of the app so far. What's the sort of next step?
This is the thing that I'm most excited about. And there's a couple of angles here. Creators are a huge part of our lifeblood. And this is, and in fact, it goes back to something I talk around in the whole shift of entertainment. And if we look, you and I, a long time ago, if we were watching television, we would have come home 7:30, our show would have been put on the screen, and it was kind of implied that we would be expected to be there to consume that. Now, as we know, as we've moved forward, the expectations of people have gone up significantly, and we saw streaming and on-demand content. That was the big next shift for people to be able to consume entertainment when they want and how they want to. But this is the third one. And this for me is where we're seeing this expectation for consumers and people to co-create that content and value exchange. And so what we're seeing is real people in real communities are creating all this amazing entertainment that is then being consumed all over the world. So it's what my point is here. It's not a production company coming up with the idea. It's just you and me and all our friends coming up with all these ideas. So where is it going to go? It's going to continue to evolve. We know back, you know, a few years ago when, as you said, we couldn't get a meeting, there was a lot more emphasis around music and dancing. But if you look at the breadth and the depth of the content on TikTok today, you've got food talk, beauty talk, edutalk. There are so many different categories of content. So it's just going to continue to evolve. And so Ryan Reynolds is not going to slow down and not be excited as he goes forward. It's big.
So I guess next year, will we see a TikTok Cannes Lion Awards category, or how's that going to look?
there is not many categories where there isn't TikTok involved this year. And I think that's a real testament to this thing we talked around with speed. These the creators that are here and winning award are tapped into the opportunity to adapt. And so it's been crazy. Almost every category, as I said, there's been TikTok involvement. I am so excited being here this week. So one thing I'm excited about is just, you look at some of the humans and individuals who sat in, whether it's in their homes, some in the office, but they've been working at God knows what time for many weeks and months to put some of this content out to the world. It's hard work. And so for me to be able to watch these people have this moment to get the award and celebrate that success has been amazing. But now, probably more so, what I'm really excited about is the conversations I'm having this week with our partners around how they're going to get up on stage next year. And so they're already thinking, what do we do? And so I can tell you there is already a few conversations with some of my colleagues in the creative space that are ready to roll. And I expect that it will be no different next year. And yeah, we're just here. We're a platform that enables these ideas to go out into the world. So we want to make sure we've given them everything they can do to get those awards on stage.
Well, Brett, thanks for joining me. And I'm looking forward to seeing, I guess, how different the company looks in 1 year's time.
Great to be here. Thanks for the time.
Next, a quick grab from VaynerMedia and VaynerX boss Gary V from his panel session yesterday with Paris Hilton. Here, Gary talks a little bit about the hype and hysteria surrounding NFTs and why now might be the time for marketers to invest in the new Web3 technology.
When I invested early on at Uber, when I was a huge advocate in eBay early in the late 90s, it had a common thread, which is, oh, this is going to be good for both. This is going to be good for the seller. This is going to be good for the buyer. This is going to be good. When you build a two-way marketplace, I think NFTs have a chance to be an incredibly beneficial thing for both parties in the scenario that I just laid out, and in that scenario, three parties. And I think once people get over the headlines and the hyperbole, the greed on this side, and the cynicism based on one headline they read on this side, once we get to that mature state, this will become a profound platform of creativity and business and brand and nonprofit opportunities. And so I'm really excited about it. I understand why there's confusion, hyperbole, cynicism. That's what always happens when there's massive technology shifts. It happened with the internet. I don't have to remind this room what everybody thought about Twitter and social media in 2006, 7, 8. We completely underestimated. In 15 years, social media went from this is the stupidest shit, who cares, to we need to control this because it can tear down democracy. That's how powerful it was, right? It went from who cares if I'm eating a pizza on Twitter to we need to regulate these things. It can upset our entire 8 billion person population. Same thing's gonna happen here with NFTs. Right now, everyone's like, this is stupid. Who cares if a turtle has a cigar up its ass? How can that be worth $40,000? I get that, that makes sense. But in 15 years, we're gonna understand that every person in the world will interact with NFTs because we're gonna go from collectability with a hint of utility to where this is really going. Utility with a hint of collectability. And that's when a lot of these creative minds will come in and really do substantial work and creativity on the platform.
Right, it's the collectability that attracts people. The community,
It's the first thing.
For sure.
The first thing on Instagram was photography, right? The first thing on TikTok was young teenage, dancing, right? The first thing on MySpace was music. The first thing on Facebook was college kids. Facebook today is grandparents, right? So we're caught up in what happened first. What happened first with NFTs is collectability. That's fine. Sneakers and sports cards and paintings are collectible. It is 0.01% of what the technology of NFT blockchain is, and the next decade, most people will understand that.
I agree. When people resist this, I said, well, you resisted buying things online, remember? And now you order an Uber and you get into a stranger's car. Right? We didn't want to buy anything.
Do you know how many people here said they would never get an iPhone because they needed to touch the fucking buttons on the BlackBerry?
Right. So, I mean, this is just the start of it. And when I was at Nike, my North America P&L was $2 billion in revenue. I couldn't, when people returned product, we couldn't check that back into the warehouse because it was the size of a football field. If you can put a little chip in the shoe, the same technology as Apple Pay, now you can authenticate the shoe, whether you're Nike or whether you're a buyer. If you buy it at Foot Locker or on StockX or Goat, one of the resellers, you know it's real. As a brand, you can track who owns the shoe, especially in resale markets. You know the true market pricing at any given point, especially when shoes are 5 or 10x the price. But the consumer is in control of that. And a brand can look in a wallet. It's a bunch of strings of numbers and letters. We don't know who owns that. But if they can see, this wallet has 30 pairs of rare Jordans. Well, I don't know who they are. But maybe I can airdrop something and start a relationship. It's the consumer.
Or they can build a website where they say, if you check in your wallet to this website, X will happen. What people understand, again, the biggest thing I'd like to leave this talk with, given the quality of the audience, is before you decide something, have you actually done 50 hours of actual homework? Right? And by the way, both sides. I watch people go pro NFT and invest in things with no education. That's why they lost their money. But this industry specifically gets real fancy on itself too fast and is very good at saying no to new scaled technology, which is unfortunate because it's the brilliant creative minds in this room that tend to know what to do with it. We just get a little fancy. I mean, even the location of our biggest event is fucking fancy.
And it's hard to get to.
it's fucking fancy outside.
It's very fancy.
And so we get a little fancy and we say no too fast. I just hope people say maybe after this talk and do their work. And if it's no after 10 or 15 hours of homework for you, then that's amazing. That's you. You're allowed. But to say no off of one or two headlines or one conversation with some friend who you just take their opinion always keeps you away from the biggest opportunity. And I think that's a mistake.
Staying on new technologies, you're now going to hear from APAC GM at Snap, Catherine Carter, as the platform delivered its AR activation this week alongside Vogue and some of the globe's biggest upmarket retail brands, taking a step in a new direction for retail commerce. Catherine Carter, General Manager of Snap APAC here with us. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
So you have this, activation here. It's a collaboration between Snap and Vogue focusing around AR technology. I think a good place to start would be maybe telling us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been really privileged to partner with British Vogue and six pretty incredible designers. So everyone from Dior through to Balenciaga and Gucci and Versace, who have commissioned these pretty extraordinary outfits and then reinterpreted what they would look like through augmented reality. So people that can have the opportunity to walk through and see the outfits come to life and see the different designers' vision in each of the six different rooms.
And what was the thinking behind using Cannes as sort of the launching pad for this collaboration?
Well, I think, you know, at its very heart, the Festival of Creativity obviously provides a platform for us to really demonstrate and stretch the capabilities from an augmented reality perspective. You know, we're continuing to invest at scale in retail and how augmented reality can be used specifically around e-commerce and certainly allowing people to try on products. So it can, why not let them try on couture?
Yeah, it's really interesting kind of moving further into this retail space. I forget who it was the other day, but they were basically saying that the physical shop is more just of a showroom these days because people are increasingly buying everything online. Is this, I guess, a direction that Snap is going to really be doubling down on in the future? And can we sort of see more sort of integrations with those high-end brands and also maybe some of those more accessible brands?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that COVID certainly demonstrated the power of being able to try on a product virtually when you weren't able to physically go into a store. And we saw some really successful collaborations where you could try on a different shade of lipstick or try on a different pair of sneakers. And what's also really powerful from a retail perspective is you can then also purchase it. Mm-hmm. So within the very same opportunity, you're able to, you know, experience it, share it, get points of view from your friend, and also purchase it, which is incredibly compelling from a retail perspective. They get the opportunity to, you know, promote their products, you know, reduce things like returns, allow people to try on products virtually and, mm-hmm. and kind of have that sense of confidence before they purchase. And we see the continued, I guess, adoption of that as a new form of a retail experiencing, a retail experience only continuing to grow and accelerate.
Yeah, so is this the future of commerce? Is it the future of retail advertising? And I guess how wide will this kind of technology be accessible?
Well, I wouldn't like to predict the future. I would say that it's here in terms of the accessibility. You know, we are seeing an extraordinary amount of momentum behind augmented reality, both in terms of the usage, but also the adoption across a number of different brands. So to your point around high end through to, you know, direct to consumer businesses, everyone is really appreciating the application, and I think also increasingly understanding that if they're wanting to connect with Gen Zs and millennials, that having augmented reality is a really important facet of that connection as well.
Well, Catherine, thank you very much for joining me today.
Absolute pleasure.
Now, Yahoo's Paul Sigalov and Rachel Page join the podcast to discuss how the company has repositioned itself as a forward-thinking platform for the future, and how it has done so as one of the few legacy brands still representing itself here this week.
Okay, so we are here on the Yahoo beach with Rachel Page and Paul Sigalov of Yahoo. Welcome to you both.
It's great to be here, Cal.
Thank you, Callum.
So as I've sort of been doing with a few of these chats so far, as we're out here in Cannes, which is the Festival of Creativity, you've obviously got your own setup here. I'd be interested to know what Yahoo's sort of looking to get from the week and why you are here.
Oh, well, first up, it's great to see you, and look at this amazing purple setting. We're here on Yahoo Beach, lapping up the sunshine from Cannes. And look, we're here, we're all about people, we're all about partnerships, and we're all about our performance. And there's a lot that we're doing here to engage all of those things, and it's just brilliant to be here in real life with our customers. It's great as well to be inviting a number of our partners to this amazing space to talk a little bit about what we're doing and how we're innovating. And ultimately, all of this is about driving better performance for, you know, our advertisers and all of our customers.
And we've sort of been speaking before now about, I guess, some of the different trends this week. And we spoke about, you know, the big focus on things like Web3 and the metaverse. What's sort of been the process for Yahoo sort of shifting the focus of what the brand actually does, and then I guess in turn conveying that to your partners who are going to be visiting your site here this week?
Yeah, we talk about sort of culture and code, which is, I guess, quite unique in the space. So we do more than one thing, and we have our amazing tech which distributes the messages to the millions. But in terms of you know, culture and how we sort of do that, we have an amazing team in Yahoo Creative Studios, and they focus on Web3, and we've done some amazing work and events and so forth. Like, they're really investing in, you know, Web3, Meta, and how we make that real for clients. But not only making it real, it's how you distribute that and get, you know, you get that sort of extension of through our tech. So we've done some amazing events, most recently at Vivid in Sydney. We've worked with a number of clients in terms of Meta. So I think it's about being able to innovate, but then distribute that out at the same time.
Do you think that, I guess, the notion of creativity has sort of shifted over the past, I guess, however many years? I mean, this is the first time Cannes is running 3 years, and the discussion has been this week that all of these big brands and companies on the beach maybe are a lot of the new players. Has I guess things like, you know, the metaverse and sort of those innovative kind of strands that you're looking at, has it changed what people actually perceive as, I guess, the basic word of creativity now?
I think it provides a great platform for innovation, and, you know, depending upon different uses and where people are at, There's a wonderful chance for people to kind of do that test and learn, and you know, look at the open web and think about how they can engage people that are there in their millions in the metaverse, and what are some of the ways that they can, you know, do that, but then using our tech and our platforms to really make sure that that's distributed and amplified to the masses, and still delivering really good ROI. And so I think we're all here to celebrate that creativity and understand some of the great case studies that are being, you know, spoken about and heralded and awarded. And it's a great time. And certainly as a trusted advisor to a lot of brands, we're very much in that space, as Rach said, and we're excited about the journey that we're on and what we do with them.
And sorry, Rach.
No, I was just going to say, and you can't underestimate the connection of people in environments like this. So getting to actually get back face-to-face with people globally, so your colleagues, your clients, that sort of thing, it's been magical, and you know, it brings ideas out. We share ideas rather than sitting on screens and, you know, trying to make the universe work. We're here doing it on the ground, which is amazing.
And just finally, I guess outside of the kind of work side of things, there's obviously an entertainment factor to this week. Is there anything you're looking forward to in particular?
Oh, 100%. Well, I think there's two things. I mean, tomorrow's a big day in the office. But really the culmination of all of that is we've got Fatboy Slim actually on this very platform, who will be spinning us some seriously good tunes, and we'll all be appreciating that, as well as Ivan Markman, our CBO, who's I think the warm-up act. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
He's DJing himself
and it's going to be a lot of fun just to see a lot of friendly faces and enjoy some great music.
Yeah, it's a marathon, I think, coming here, and after a few years, we have to be sort of calm, fit to go the pace. But it's crazy, it's frantic, but it's also magical. So you've got to pinch yourself and be so fortunate that you're lucky to be in this place with all these amazing people. But I'm looking forward to Fatboy Slim as well, and our Australian Day at Lagerique tomorrow will be a highlight as well. Get the Aussies together.
Yeah. Well, lovely to catch you both for the not just here, but for the podcast as well.
Thanks, Cal. Thanks, look forward, Cal, to seeing you soon.
Finally, the world's biggest community forum, Reddit, has placed itself front and centre outside the Palais this week. You'll now hear from global CMO Roxy Young about what Reddit can offer marketers and how the platform is shifting the dial. Okay, so we are here in the Reddit Explorers Club in the most air-conditioned room in the whole of the Cannes Lions Festival. And in front of me, I have Reddit's Chief Marketing Officer, Roxy Young, welcome.
Hello, great to be chatting with you today.
So, as I mentioned there, we are in this lovely big activation center, and this is Reddit's first year kind of hosting, and you've got Prime Real Estate here. Could you just, first of all, take us through, I guess, the planned outcomes for Reddit and why you're here?
Yeah, absolutely. So Reddit has been coming to Cannes for several years. We started our advertising platform in 2018. And so for the last few years, we've been coming, we've been having meetings, we've been learning from brands and agencies. And this year was the first year where we decided to invite people into our custom space called the Reddit Explorers Club on the ground floor. We've brought Reddit to life in so many different ways, and so all of the weird and wonderful experiences that people have on Reddit, you can also walk through and experience them for yourselves in real life. And it brings Reddit into three-dimensional tactile experience. And then upstairs we are having a series of conversations about things that are important, about diversity, about inclusion, about privacy, and so we're really excited to just bring our brand to life and to have meaningful and important conversations about how we can help brands and advertisers meet their business objectives by connecting with communities on Reddit.
Yeah, so I think from my experience as I'm a Reddit user, I kind of, you know, would first of all think about Reddit as being a community platform just for forums, basically. But you mentioned there talking to brands and agencies. How does Reddit, I guess, facilitate that relationship, connecting
the mm-hmm. users, the several million, 100 million users on Reddit, to yeah. brands and platforms, and like, I guess, what is the advertising that is on Reddit?
Yeah, so advertising on Reddit is really impactful for brands. On Reddit, people are very intentional about the communities that they're visiting and the actions that they're taking. So if they're in the market for an electric vehicle, they're in a community about electric vehicles, and they're very engaged and they're very leaned in. And this is a great example of how a brand can connect with those passionate people to drive business outcomes. And so on Reddit, you're targeting people based on their interest, whether that be electric vehicles or cosmetics or parenting. You're finding those relevant audiences based on the communities they visit that are aligned with your brand's product or service. And Reddit is an incredibly trusted place. This isn't a place where influencers are out there trying to convince you to buy something. Real people are having real conversations in communities on Reddit. And when brands are a part of it, it's going to drive business outcomes.
It's interesting, I guess, compared to, you know, we're on the beach here, and you see just about every sort of social media tech platform in the world has got their own real estate. I guess Reddit differentiates in a way where there's a sense of anonymity, and you can't really build a personal platform off that. Do you think that's a benefit for marketers, or is it a hindrance because there is that anonymity attached to it?
Yeah, it's a great question. We think it's an asset. We are designed for privacy, and in light of everything that's going on with all the recent changes that either have happened with Apple or will be coming up with Google, we've never required that people share their personal information on Reddit. And what that means is that people are honest, they're authentic, they trust the conversations, and we've been able to build a successful advertising business, driving meaningful outcomes for brands and advertisers, because Reddit is a trusted place where people are coming to find real people having real conversations about the things that matter to them. We were just having a discussion about somebody coming to Reddit to identify the best vacuum cleaner, and this isn't because an influencer is telling them. This is somebody saying, what is the best vacuum cleaner? These are the things I needed to do. This is the price range. And that's an amazing place for a brand to be. And it doesn't require personal information or somebody being paid to talk about that product.
Yeah, I've certainly used Reddit as a resource very many times to find, I guess, the answer to it's. I guess it's, you know, it's, as you say, the value of just trusting people who have nothing to gain. I guess just finally, Roxy, what, on a personal level, you mentioned you've been on a few panels this week. You're going to probably be doing a few more and speaking to lots of people this week. Have you found, are there any points of difference with what you're bringing discussion-wise to maybe some of the other panel members from other platforms so far this week?
Yeah, you know, I think some of the things that we're talking about is that you can reach people's passions in a privacy-forward way on Reddit, and that's just been such a key topic for marketers. We're entering this cookie-less world where the things that we used to rely on as marketers in terms of how we would target and find our audiences are evolving and changing, and so the perspective that Reddit has always had, which is that privacy is a right. We have to find a way to build our business and our advertising solution in a way that respects users' privacy and drives business outcomes. And the fact that we've been able to do that has been, you know, a really interesting perspective that we've been able to bring this year.
Well, Roxy, so great to meet you and lovely to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's been fantastic to meet you today.
And that's about it for this week. For all the awards and shortlists, please check out our website, mumbrella.com.au. And you can also go on there for some of the other content we've been getting out this week. Thanks for listening, and thanks to all the guests this week. And we'll see you next week.